Just extend your hand out to her, and I just wanted to say a prayer of blessing over y'all, because y'all are so special. Father, Lord, I thank you for these moms. Lord, I thank you for what motherhood even shows, Lord. And I pray that, Lord, even if there's mothers here that they don't feel so amazing, Lord, show them that they are. Lord, show them that even if mistakes have been made, Lord, because every one of us make mistakes, Lord. But I pray that you can show them tonight that you can cover any sin, Lord, that you can draw them closer to you. And that today they could be the best mother in the world by turning their life to you, Lord. And so I pray, even if that's what's needed tonight, Lord, I pray that the mothers would get saved here tonight, Lord. And so I praise you for them, Lord. And I know that, Lord, you hold them dear in your heart. Lord, you chose them for the tool of this recreation, Lord. You chose a mother to bring our Savior here to this world, Lord. And so I praise you for mothers. And, Lord, I pray for those who Mother's Day may not be a positive time for them, Lord. I pray that you would just bless them with your presence. Lord, let them know how much that you love them. Lord, but today we want to honor mothers, Lord. Even as we speak on even the suffering and the grace and all the stuff that we've been talking about for the last couple of weeks, Lord, I pray that you use this night just to bless mothers. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
How are you guys doing tonight? Y'all doing good? I want y'all to help me with something. I wrote something down. I want y'all to tell me what it says, okay? I'm going to make sure it's right side up.
What? I love you.
Is it, or heart you? What's it, what does that mean? That's a symbol for love. A heart's a symbol for love. Y'all see that? Yeah, so whenever we write that, that means I love you. That the heart is supposed to symbolize love. But you know, just like when we look at that and, you know, we think love, that if we know Jesus, when people look at us, that's what they're supposed to think because of Christ's love in us. But how do we do that? When they look at us, do we have it written on our forehead, I love, and that's how they know? Let's look at the Bible. Let's see what the Bible says about that. It says, above all, keep loving one another earnestly, since love covers a multitude of sins. Show hospitality to one another without grumbling, as each has received a gift. Use it to serve one another as good stewards of God's varied grace. So what's that? What that is saying, guys, is that, yeah, we can tell people that we love them, but more importantly, love is an action. We show love. I can tell you that I love you all day long and never serve you or use my gifts that God has given me to serve you and to help you, and I'd be a liar if I didn't do that. If I just told you I loved you and never served and used God's gifts that He's given me to help you. And do y'all know that that's what Christ did for us? He just didn't tell us He loved us and say, "Y'all have a good day." He showed His love for us on the cross by dying on the cross. The best example of how we can love people. So tomorrow was Mother's Day. And moms like to hear you say, "I love you," but you know what? We can put those words into action like Jesus did for us by serving them. Maybe bed and breakfast or, you know, something else. I don't know, making a card. So that's what she did? Oh, well, we better not tell. Mother's Day's tomorrow. We don't want to ruin it. but, yeah, guys, that love is an action. And I'm going to read y'all a verse. And this is from John. It says, "By this all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." So that's saying, guys, that when we love one another, when we love our brothers and sisters in Christ, the lost world that doesn't know Jesus is going to see that. And they're going to look at that, and they're going to see Jesus. And they're going to want to be a part of that. Okay, so we can put that into practice tomorrow. By loving our moms, not only telling them, but by doing something for them, putting that into action. Okay? So let's pray. All right? Dear Lord, I just thank you that you love us, Lord. But not only do you tell us, Lord, but you show us, God, by giving us your Son to die for us, Lord. And God, I pray that He died for us, Lord, and we have the power to live for Him, God. And that's how we show love, God, is by being obedient to you. And showing love to others by serving others and using our God-given gifts to help them and to serve them. So help us to do that, Lord. Help us to do that with our mothers tomorrow. tell them that we love them, but also show it by putting that into action. Thank you that you're a God of action, and that you just didn't let us be as we are, but you stepped in, and we're not passive, but you saved us, God, and thank you for that. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray. Amen.
And that's a nice crowd out there tonight, man. Y'all didn't look that many from up here. Y'all getting growing. I got the singing in my dang voice is going to think about going out. So if it starts to go out, do I have a member of the body that's going to come take and undergird me and take this part of it? I got my brother back there waving his hand. You know, that's awesome. Because that's kind of what we're talking about tonight. You know, we're going to be in 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11. And I entitled it that we need each other to live a life that glorifies God. And I'm going to tell y'all, y'all need me and I need y'all. Because there's so much stuff that goes on as Christians and we need each other. Okay, and in this series, Practical Grace, it's been amazing just to kind of go and see that how we can give grace and how we can receive grace. All right, over the past few weeks, we've been challenged to submit to authority, even when they're not always good, okay, to us in order to glorify God. We've also been challenged by God's word, as well as some human examples, to endure suffering in order to glorify God. That's weird, to endure suffering, and you can still glorify God by that, okay? But the only way we can imagine even doing this is to recognize the power available to us through God's grace. See, the only way that we're going to endure through suffering is through God's grace. We receive grace in order to be able to glorify God. But we're not, exactly. I mean, that's the only way that we can glorify God with our life and the things that we're called to do, okay? But we're not also recipients of grace. We're administrators of grace, of God's grace as well. See, we've been called to submit, live for God, suffer, do good, and live for God. Receive grace and give grace. See, I look at all those things and say, it takes a lot of grace to be able to get through that suffering, okay? But sometimes we're not the ones suffering. We're the ones that God has given grace, and we got to come alongside and give out grace, okay? Some of y'all, as a body, we need to be able to receive grace, but we also need to be able to give grace. Okay, and what is that grace? That's that unmerited favor. That's that stuff that really has the power to keep us from sinning. And so tonight in 1 Peter 4, 7 through 11, we're going to look at some areas in which we can be an example to others and how we live to glorify God. Like I said tonight, we need each other to live a life that glorifies God. Every one of us gets off track. Okay, every one of us gets off track. And I mean, if you never get off track, let me see your hand. We're going to talk about lying after that, okay? Every one of us need each other. Every one of us needs somebody to come along and either encourage us up or give us a little sweet kick in the tail, okay? But we need each other because here's the thing. I can tell you one thing about Living Hope, Brian. We don't want to be just a normal church. Amen? Okay. Because we want to be authentic. We want to be something that God can use. We want to be something that's different than anybody else has ever seen. Okay? The only way that's going to happen is if every one of us does our part and every one of us helps others when they're down, okay? Because everybody's going to be up and down at certain times. Grace from time to time, but we need also each other to come alongside us and minister to grace in areas. And the areas we're going to look at tonight, okay, there's a lot of areas that we need help and grace in, okay? One of the areas that we're going to look in the Word is we need some grace in the area's perspective. Sometimes I need you to come along beside me and say, hey, Alan, you're looking at this totally different wrong, okay? Different wrong. That's kind of bad English, but that's all right. Y'all know what y'all got. And we need each other to encourage us how to love biblically, you know? And then how to show hospitality. We're going to hear about that a little bit tonight. And then service to others, okay? Our commitment to one another is vital in being a witness to a watching world. See, if we can't get along as the church, and if we don't come alongside each other, and if we don't learn how to serve each other and help each other and come alongside each other in the church, what makes you think we're going to do it out in the world? And that's where it needs to be seen, okay? John 13, 34 through 35. A new command I give you, love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you love one another. See, the way we react as a body of Christ and as a church affects the way other people see our God, okay? If we love one another, all men will know that we're disciples, okay? It says over 30 times the phrase one another is used in the New Testament as an exhortation to love and serve those in the body. For us to love each other and love one another, it's an important thing to God. It's a commitment. When you become a part of a body of Christ, you committed to them, to that body. And that word commitment means to be surrendered and to sacrifice. See, as you become a member, and we just got through with our kind of our members class. When you become a member of any kind of body of Christ, and especially here at Living Hope, Brian, we're going to call you to some accountability. We own you. But the thing about it is, you own us. That's what the Bible says. It says that we belong to each other. Okay, and so that's a picture that most people in the world, they're like, well, I don't know about that. I want to still have my freedom, but have this church label on. Well, I'm gonna tell you what, that's not biblical. That's not biblical, and that's not the kind of power that we need to see in this world. That's not the power we need to see church members out there doing acting a fool. Okay, so we need that accountability. But we need it in some areas. And so in verse 7, we're going to start out. And sometimes it's the area of perspective. Okay, I'm going to read verse 7. The end of all things is near. Therefore, be clear-minded and self-control so that you can pray. And it says the end of all things is near. And we sang that song, you know, that Christ is coming back. He's talking about Jesus' return. Okay? And for some of y'all think about that, man, I ain't ready for him to come back. I still got some living to do. You know, if that's your thought in here tonight, and you just got to listen closely because we as Christians should be ready for Christ's return. And this group of believers that he was talking to, it had been over 30 years since Christ left. And in the midst of their pain, it seemed that things were getting worse. See, Christ had gone, things were getting worse. And so a common thing would say, where's Jesus? Would be a legitimate cry for these persecuted believers. And even in those days, the imminent return of Christ could come back. See, they were expecting Jesus to return at any minute. And in the pain they were in, they were like, bring it. You know, come on, Lord, I'm ready to get out of this mess. Anybody like that? All right, got one. Well, two of us going to heaven. And I know that's something that really hits close to home, because some of us, we cling to this world too much. With all the disease and all the things that goes on in this world, why are we clinging to it? And I know this may sound radical to some of y'all. I say, man, just leave me alone. I want to go live my life. I just want to do that, and I want to come to church and make myself feel better. Man, that ain't what it's about. It's about being a body of Christ, serving each other so that we can serve the community or serve other. We got to bring other people with us. Okay. But I need you. Because if I go, I just get the rednecks there. Okay. I look out in this crowd right here. We are so diverse in the way we think and and God could use us in some amazing, amazing ways if we'll just let him. Okay. That was free. So let's turn over to Thessalonians, 1 Thessalonians 4, 13 through 18, because Jesus is coming back. Amen. Let's hear that again. Jesus is coming back. Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. And I want to read in 1 Thessalonians because with that comes some stuff. So we need to be ready, okay, as he comes back. Let's just read in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13. We're going to read a little bit here. Because when I get to stammering on my words, I just start reading the Bible. That's what I'm going to do. Because the Word of God, I'm going to tell you, if I tell you you ought to be serving and you ought to be ready for God's Christ's return, that doesn't do you any good. But let's read what 1 Thessalonians says. 13. It says, brothers, we do not want you to be ignorant about those who fall asleep or to grieve like the rest of men who have no hope. We believe that Jesus died and rose again. And so we believe that God will bring with Jesus those who have fallen asleep in him. That's all the dead, okay? According to the Lord's own word, we tell you that he who is still alive, who are left till the coming of the Lord, will certainly not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a loud command, with the voice of the archangel, and with the trumpet call of the Lord, and the dead in Christ will rise first. After that, we who are still alive and are left will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air, and so we will be with the Lord forever. Therefore, encourage each other with these words. That should be encouraging. That sounds like some freaky sci-fi thing, though, huh? Dead people rising, and we got to wait on them, and then here we go. We get to go next. But I'm going to tell you, for a Christian, it ought to be a glorious thing. We ought to be ready for that, okay? But we're not. We're not. We just seem to cling to this world so much. I don't understand it. Well, I do understand it because I'm human, too. I'm not ready to go today, but if he came back, I'm going to tell you, I wouldn't say, wait. You know, I'm ready. Chapter 5. Now, brothers, about the times and dates, we do not need to write to you, for you know very well that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. While people are saying peace and safety, destructions will come on them suddenly as labor pains. And look at this. Look at the picture that is given us here. As labor pains on a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. It's going to come all of a sudden. You're not going to know when it comes. But here's the thing for Christians. As labor pains of a pregnant woman. My sister knows she's pregnant, you know, and she knows she's going to have a baby. So I'm going to tell you right now, she's probably at home doing things, getting ready, prepared for that baby to come. And the closer it gets, she's going to be more prepared, okay? But we go in our lives, and we just live our lives regularly, day by day, like we've got 100 years. Like labor pains in a pregnant woman. I'm going to tell you, if you're a believer, you're pregnant. All right? You know God's coming. He's coming. Okay? I know maybe that don't sound right, but I'm just but when you think about it, we have to put that in our mind. Sometimes you need some weird, off the wall things to think about, okay? Because otherwise you're just gonna go and live your life like you want to live your life. All right? But you, brothers, this is who we are. But you, brothers, are not in darkness, so that this day should surprise you like a thief. See, we know we're pregnant, okay? We do not belong to the night or to the darkness. So then, let us not be like others who fall asleep, but let us be alert and self-controlled. And we're going to talk about that a little bit more, too. Alert and self-controlled. Be ready. Be prepared. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk, get drunk at night. But since we belong to the day, let us be self-controlled, putting on faith and love as a breastplate and the hope of salvation as a helmet. For God did not appoint us to suffer wrath, but to receive salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ. He died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we may live together with him. Listen to this again. Therefore, encourage one another and build each other up, just as in fact you're doing. If anybody ought to be excited about the return of Christ, it ought to be his church. And so as Christians, when we find ourselves clinging to this world, we ought to have enough love, as we're going to find out, to go to our brothers and say, man, what are you clinging for? I mean, what are you going through? Okay, why is this wearing you out? Because Christ is returning. Be ready. Because it says, therefore, the end of all things is near. Therefore, since Jesus is coming back at any time, we need to be clear-minded and self-controlled so that we can pray. Every one of us want to pray, right? How many of y'all are on the prayer wall? Man, shame on y'all, the ones that ain't. Hey, there's a lot. There's openings, okay? There's openings on the prayer wall, okay? And I'm going to tell you, maybe y'all don't know what the prayer wall is. The prayer wall is a time, it's 24 hours a day when we got all the places filled in where you call, you pray for an hour, you call the next person, they call you, you pass on. It's like a prayer chain. And you know, we've been doing it for 4 or 5 years at Living Hope. Got a lot of holes in it right now. But we need to be clear-minded and ready to pray. And I didn't realize that many of y'all wasn't on it. I probably wouldn't have made y'all feel so bad. Yeah, I would. I don't want y'all to feel bad. I really don't want people to feel condemned. I want people to leave here with a sense of, you know what, man, I need to get busy doing everything I need to do, okay? Anyway, that's another free thing. We might get a few of those tonight. So therefore, be clear-minded, okay? And the reason I mention the prayer wall is because I'm on the prayer wall, and my prayer time is from 7 to 8 on Mondays, which should be no problem. I'm up anyways, okay? I usually get up at that time anyway. But it never fails when I decide to pray. I close my eyes, and I cannot stay awake at times. Not every week, or I'd have to do something, But I do. There's times where I'm sleepy and I fall asleep and I'm thinking, man, what's going on here? Because I don't fall asleep on the days I'm driving to work from 7 to 8. You know, I don't fall asleep when I'm doing something. So there's some things, there's some spiritual warfare in there that's happening that's keeping me from being clear-minded. Okay? And being clear-minded is a big deal. Because you can't have all the weight of the world on your mind and begin to pray and pray effectively. Okay? So there's some things. Don't cloud your minds with things like worry. We build relationships in here so we get to know each other. So we can come alongside each other. And I know when you're worrying. And what is worry? Say it loud. Sin. Worry is sin. Worry is sin. And I'm going to worry tomorrow. And maybe somebody's going to have to. I was worried about what I was going to say when I got up here. Okay, that's sin. Confess it. Thank you, Lord. All right. we're going to get busy. All right. I need y'all, okay? Worry is sin. Fear is something that clouds your mind. See, a lot of y'all don't step up in some areas in ministry in the churches because you're afraid you can't do the job. You can't. We don't want you doing what you can do. We want you stepping out in faith and allowing God to show His mighty power in what you do. We want you to be filled with the Holy Spirit, led by the Holy Spirit, and get the power of the Holy Spirit doing the job. I don't want you, if you're afraid, you're perfect. Man, I'm terrified. But I ain't kidding you. Y'all have seen me up here. I have melted before. But you know what? I don't care. I want to do what God wants me to do. But I need y'all to help me do it. See? Y'all have the grace. Y'all have given me grace. All right? I love y'all for that. Depression is another thing that kind of clouds our mind. And one thing that I don't want to do, I don't want to minimize the fact that depression can be a chemical thing, okay? I know sometimes there's medication that people need to take for depression, and I don't want to minimize that at all. But I also don't want to minimize the power of my God, okay? There's a power available to you as a Christian to say, even though things don't seem to be going right, God might come back here in a minute, you know? That's one of the things. We can clear our minds, and sometimes we need each other to come alongside of us and say, hey, it's going to be all right. It's going to be all right. I went through that same thing, and it's going to be all right. But I don't want to minimize depression. I know, so if you need to take some medication, please take some medication. But I'm going to tell you what, Jesus can do anything. I mean it, anything. In the circumstances, sometimes your circumstances cloud your mind. In Experiencing God, it talks about viewing God from behind your circumstances. And there's a story that Henry Blackaby told, what's in the Bible, about the guys when they were in the boat and the storm came up and Jesus was asleep in the back of the boat. But while he was sleeping, if you were to ask anybody else on that boat what was the truth of that circumstance, they would have said, we're going to die. But that wasn't the truth of that circumstance. Because as Henry Blackaby says in Experiencing God, truth was asleep at the back of the boat. See, I don't care how bad your circumstances are. You don't know the truth of it until Jesus shows up. You don't know. You don't know what he can do if you'll give him your problem. See, you think you've got it figured out. Cloud your mind. We got to be able to be clear-minded. Any of y'all heard of Mark Lowry? He's a Christian comedian. He said, everybody's got their favorite verse. He said, my favorite verse. You want to hear my favorite verse? He said, and it came to pass. That's it. When you're in your circumstance, he said, it didn't come to stay. He said, whatever you're in, believe me, it'll pass. He said, it'll pass or you'll pass. Something's going to happen. Most of these things that we go through are temporary, and so we make them so permanent, okay? Our problems, we make them so permanent. If you're a Christian and you pass, you get to go to heaven. Amen. Okay? All right. But if you're not a believer, you don't get this. Everything I'm saying is just foreign. Who is this dude? I can see y'all. You need Jesus to even think like this. And your agenda will keep your mind clouded as well. If you got a plan that doesn't include God, you're fixing to be cloudy. Because God will not compete with your plans. He will confuse you as a Christian. Sometimes he'll let lost people just do what they want to, but I'm going to tell you what, he'll still will you. He'll still run after you and still pursue you. Any goal that's not God's or will, any goal that are not God's will or wise, that's something else that'll cloud your mind. So we need each other to kind of clear our minds at times, you know. And you know, I spent a lot of time on that because, you know, when I got to that verse, I was like, man, I'm there. My mind's cloudy. He said, and self-controlled. And some of y'all say, man, I lack self-control. No, you don't if you're a Christian. You do not lack self-control if you're a Christian because it's a fruit of the Spirit. If you're not given self-control as a Christian, it's because you're not using the power available to you. You have self-control. It's in you when you get saved. Okay? So quit lying to yourself and quit just doing what you normally do. Quit feeding your flesh just because the devil made you do it. I'm preaching to me too. I'm shaking my head like it's all y'all. But anger and addictions, they lead to sin. You know, those kind of, all lack of self-control does it lead you to sin. Same thing with worry, okay? And so we gotta work on those things. We gotta combat those things so that we can pray. So what is prayer? I mean, why is prayer so important to us? Because if we don't pray, what are we? I mean, if we're just doing things without praying, why are we even doing anything? Because prayer, this is all prayer is. It's the goal of prayer is uninterrupted fellowship with God. It's talking to God. And when you're cloudy with your mind, with your circumstances and things like that, you can't talk to God. You can talk to God, but for some reason, there's that disconnect. Anytime there's sin in your life, there's some disconnect, okay? And so as we, as believers, and as we begin, as the body of Christ, as we begin to get to know each other more and more and more, I need to know you well enough to know when you walk in the room, something's wrong. You know, and you may not be able to do that with everybody in the body. That's why hope groups and things like that. That's why we want to become a community. That's why it's so important that when we have things that y'all become part of the family. Okay. And I know in Matthew 26:40-41, Peter struggled with this. The same Peter that wrote this, I think the reason he's writing is because he remembers in the garden when he should have been praying. And Jesus said, hey, Peter, what's up? About to die here, you know. Can't you just pray for an hour? That's what I ask about the prayer wall. Can't you just pray for an hour? To some of y'all, it sounds like a week. You watch TV for an hour. I mean, think about it. But it's the spirit that's willing, but the flesh is weak. Okay, and I'm not trying to get on you guys because Butch, I mean, he said last week, I'm sweet, you know. He said, I'm too nice, you know. I'm like, man, I don't want to be nice. I like being nice, but here's the thing. I want to encourage y'all. I don't want to beat y'all down to say, this is what you ought to be doing. Because here's what I know. You really want what I'm talking about. You really do. You may not think you want it right now, but you really do. And when you get it, you ain't never going to let go of it. You really do want it. I'm telling you. And so let's go on. In another area where we need the body, verse 8. Above all, love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. See, in that same, in the 1 Corinthians, we're going to read about love, and if y'all want to turn over there, but I'll make a few comments here in a little bit first, though. But in 1 Corinthians 13, it talks about, you know, if I have the gift of prophecy and all these things, if I can do some of these amazing things, if I have faith that can move mountains, but I don't have love, I don't have anything. So love is very important, and that's why Peter says, above all, true biblical love is the most important, the priority, we should make it a priority, and it's the most effective thing that we can do. Love each other deeply. See, there's that each other again. He's talking about us, the body, the believers out there, because those guys were going through heck, and so they needed to be loving each other deeply. All right. And that's why, you know, we're going to do some things maybe this summer to become more of a body. But, I mean, we got to learn how to love each other deeply. Not this, hey, brother, what's going on? How you doing? Fine. See you next week. That ain't what I'm talking about. Talking about love each other deeply. Sincerely love people, not surface love. See, in John 13, that same John chapter 13, verse 1. Let me turn over there real quick. I want to read that verse for you guys. It says, it was just before the Passover feast, Jesus knew that the time had come for him to leave this world and go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he now showed them the full extent of his love. And then the very next thing he did to show the full extent of his love, he washed their feet. See, he served them to show that he loved. And man, I know that's part of what we do. We've got to be able to do that. We got to plan to do things that show love. Okay? We must never be too busy to love. And we get that way. You know, and our mission, our statement at Living Hope Bryan, we are to love God and to love people. And so what does that love look like? Let's look at 1 Corinthians 13, 4 through 8. What's biblical love? And there's a lot of verses that you can do on love. I just think this in here just encompasses so much, okay? And I'm just going to read them slow. You just let them sink in areas that you need work. Just say, Lord, help me, okay? Because love is patient. Love is kind. Love, it does not envy, and it does not boast. It is not proud. It is not rude. It is not self-seeking. It is not easily angered. It keeps no records of wrong. Love does not delight in evil, but rejoices with the truth. It always protects, always trusts, always hopes, always perseveres. Love never fails. In any situation that you have in the church and outside the church, you put more love on it, it's going to get better. I promise. I don't have to promise. The word promises. Love never fails. It says, because the reason that we should love each other deeply, because love covers over a multitude of sins. See, sometimes it's hard to get mad at somebody when you're expressing love on them. And I looked on that word covers. You know, it doesn't pay for our sins. Of course not. You know, Jesus' love did. I mean, he loved us enough and died on the cross, okay? But love covers over a multitude of sins. That says that means does not stir up or broadcast. See, true love doesn't feel the need to tell everybody what somebody else did to you. True love doesn't do that. And in the body of Christ, what we're talking about is brothers. That's very, very important, you know, because sometimes true love, prayer requests sometimes turn into gossip sessions, okay? And we got to be really careful of that. True love does not stir up or broadcast the sin. True love suffers in silence. Even if you are truly done wrong for the cause of Christ to live a life that glorifies God, sometimes you got to take it on the chin. And you got to, even if you're sinned against, I mean, you got to take it on. True love suffers in silence, okay? Biblical love never runs out. Love restores and reconciles. Christians forgive faults in others because they know the forgiving grace of God in their own lives. That's the only way you can ever forgive anybody, is because recognizing this grace of God that's already been placed on you. And those who have sinned against someone else, they can make it easier to receive grace. Because see, I've had some instances where some people sinned against me. I thought they did whatever. Anyway, I was mad at them. But you know what? When I saw them getting closer to Christ, when I saw them selling out, before when they sinned, they were lost. But they became a believer, and they began to live in front of me in a way that looked real and in a way that I recognized. And you know what? It was really easy to forgive that sin. So if you're having problems, if you're the one that sinned against somebody and you're having trouble getting that forget, get closer to God. Love God. Okay, verse 9. There's something else. So we got the love down? Y'all got it? All right. Verse 9 says, offer hospitality to one another without grumbling. We need this idea of hospitality. This is another area that we need each other to help, because hospitality really doesn't come natural for some of us. Some of us are very hospitable. I think of Brother Barney, man. He's got that place out in the country, and I think it's booked up till Jesus returns. I mean, it's amazing, but God gave Barney that place, and people are welcome. Anybody's welcome out there, right, Barney? Anybody's welcome, right? That's okay. There you go. Booked up till Jesus returns. But but he offers the hospitality. Okay, hospitality. This is that hanging out with each other. But true hospitality, and it says to one another, in this context, it's talking hospitality between brothers, okay? See, this is a virtue that some of us have to work on. This virtue was required of the overseer in 1 Timothy 3:2. See, as an elder or a deacon, hospitality had to be something part of what you were before you could even be a leader in the church. We don't want to be a bunch of, we don't want leaders in the church that don't want nobody over at their house, okay? Hospitality needs, and hospitality in 1 Timothy 5:10 was required of the widows. See, the widows, they were the ones who were the most needy, but you know, they had to actually show people that they were hospitable too. Hospitality was a big deal, even for the widows of that day. And to other brothers in Christ, and in Romans 13, it's commanded of all of us. It says, Romans 12:13 says, share with God's people who are in need and practice hospitality. And I think hospitality goes past even inside the body of Christ. Turn over to Matthew 25:31-40. Verse 31, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with him, he will sit on the throne in the heavenly glory. All the nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate the people one from another as a shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. He will put the sheep on the right side and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on the right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, take your inheritance, the kingdom prepared for you since the creation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me something to drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. I needed clothes, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you looked after me. I was in prison, and you came to visit me. Then the righteous will answer him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you something to drink? When did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or needing clothes and clothe you? When did we see you sick or in prison and go to visit you? The king will reply, I tell you the truth, whatever you did for one of the least of these brothers of mine, you did for me. See, I think hospitality is something that's required of us. Because we're talking in this context, the sheep and the goats, the true believers and the non-true believers, okay? So if you've got this, we really need to be about people. Because Jesus died for people. I mean, and so if you're having trouble really being open-handed with your time, you know, we really need to examine ourselves. And because our culture tells us, I mean, you look at in all these places, fences in between everybody's house. Didn't used to be that way when we were kids. This hospitality thing is something that we really got to work on. And only way as Christians is that we're ever going to really buy into it is to realize that it's God's desire for us to be hospitable to each other. See, this idea of, when we were kids, man, we knocked on people's doors and they didn't know we were coming. Huh? Imagine that. And we'd stay for hours at their house. Dirty old house. And we'd stay in there. I mean, it's just weird how now we are so to ourselves. And I think that's what the devil uses to keep us from being the people that God wants us to be and to impact our community. Some of us don't even know our neighbors. Some of us don't even know somebody in here. And that's why we're going to have to work on that this summer. Okay? But there's a difference between hospitality. I mean, because here's the thing. When you get to know somebody, when people know that you really care for them, they're more likely to listen to what you got to say. See, if we're just the church people that just come out and start telling them about Jesus, I mean, that we got to do that. But if sometimes we don't feed them, we don't offer them hospitality or anything, you know, they're not going to listen to what we had to say. Sometimes that hospitality is an inroad to share the gospel a lot of times, okay? And there's a difference between, I was reading in, Dina had a commentary in her Bible, and I thought this was really good. It says, hospitality versus entertaining. To give you an idea of what biblical hospitality. Christian hospitality differs from social entertaining. Entertaining focuses on the host. The home must be spotless. The food must be well prepared and abundant. The house must appear relaxed and good-natured. Hospitality, by contrast, focuses on the guests. Their needs, whether for a place to stay, nourishing food, a listening ear. See, hospitality ain't always about just making people happy. Sometimes just be a listening ear or acceptance are the primary concern in true hospitality. See, sometimes people don't need to, you don't need to show off your house or whatever. Hospitality can happen in a messy home. Okay, some of y'all got rid of every excuse y'all ever had right there, all right? It can happen around a dinner table where the main dish is canned soup. So you don't got to fix no fancy meal because true hospitality, some people, I'm going to tell you, some people in this body right now would be blown away if you invited them over to your house. Believers, members of this church, and you're a member of that church. And I'm going to tell you, I'm challenged by this, and I want to challenge you because we have to become a family. Because otherwise, we're just going to be another organization. And like I told y'all last time when I got there, I can't do it that way. I can't do it halfway. I need y'all. I need y'all. I need y'all. Because we've got something to do in this community. God's got something for us to do. There's something burning in us that we got to get done. And we need each other. And I can't do it without you. Hospitality, it can even happen while the host and the guest are doing chores together. Yeah, you can help me mow my grass. Well, I'm sorry, that's a bad excuse. My wife mows my grass. She is amazing. She's an amazing woman. But I can find something for you to do if y'all want to come hang out. Okay. Don't hesitate to offer hospitality just because you're too tired, too busy, or not wealthy enough to entertain. See, it's time to get rid of all the excuses because we need to love each other. We need to hang out. And the fact that Peter says without grumbling, he says offer hospitality without grumbling. And y'all know what that grumbling is. That private displeasure and complaining. Some of y'all, it ain't so private. I can hear y'all grumbling all the way up here sometimes, you know. But the grumbling is that, oh man, I can't believe I got to go do that with them again. That's going to cost me money. I ain't going to get to watch Survivor. Oh, man, it's going to kill me to do that. Man, that they call, they're going to bring out all their problems. Oh, man, you know. Y'all know what I'm talking about because y'all all done it too, all right? I'm just telling y'all the ones I said. That's all I know to tell y'all because I struggle with this too, okay? But just because I struggle with it, I ain't giving up. Man, if there's some of y'all I don't know, I want to get to know y'all, okay? And I may not ask you over, so come ask me if you can come over. I mean, it's okay. That's the kind of family that we need to build in this church right here. Like it talks about it, I want y'all to have refrigerator rights at my house, you know, or you can just walk in the house, open up. Well, some of y'all already do. Yeah. Y'all hope group, my hope group does. They know where the ice is. They know where everything is. And so that's the kind of family that we want to do in here. Because really, this superficial Christianity is not going to get us anywhere. Okay, true hospitality without grumbling. I mean, if we grumble for being used by God, we need to examine ourselves and repent. We know how to grumble, though. That's for sure. And so. I'm going to share a little bit of something. I'm going to try to go fast. I know I kept y'all long last time, but I really want to share a little bit with you guys about kind of where we're at because we kind of hit the ground running here at Living Hope, Brian, okay? And we met with a group of people, 30 people, 30, 40 people, and we come up with our vision and vision points and all this kind of stuff. And so we sat in that room, and we asked everybody, okay, why are you here? And so that's where we came up with the children's ministry and a lot of the things, and I'm not going to go through every one of those. But these are some mission and vision points that 30 people prayed and felt God leading us to be about at Living Hope Bryan. But this vision and this mission cannot be done with 30 people. Because the vision and mission that God has given us is way bigger than 30 people. And so we knew that he was going to bring people here. And so here's the thing. Even if, and we're going to talk about serving in with your gifts here in just a second. But even if the things that we don't offer, and this isn't about you picking and choosing. This is what Living Hope Bryan's all about. When you sign that membership card, you about it too. Okay, that's what this is all about. And things change, okay? As different people come into the body with different passions and different talents, we may do some other things. But right now, God has called us to a variety of different things, okay? And so one thing that we realized is we were in our leadership meeting, and we're talking about Sunday nights. A lot of you students are going to be gone. We're having a problem getting enough people to work in preschool to even think about having some Sunday night activities. And I'm like, you got to be kidding me. This many people and we can't get 8 people? I mean, when 201 gets up on the deal, I'm going to tell you right now, it would bless the preschool. It would bless, for y'all who don't know what 201 means, preschool is getting overwhelmed, kids running everywhere, and they need help. I don't think that's what it really means. That's just what I think. and that's why some of y'all don't go back there, because that's what y'all think, you know? But they need help. But I'm going to tell you, if the body would get involved in everything that the body's doing, if half the people would jump up in there and go back, it would bless the preschool to say, hey, we don't need y'all 15 other ones. But they may. They may send you on back to children. So. But the whole thing I'm trying to tell you is that we need to be in this thing together. Okay? Don't wait for somebody to ask you to serve. Because there's a lot of areas, okay? So anyway, and it's not just about preschool. This is just some things that we need to become as a body. And so, but we learn some things, okay? So Sunday nights, typically we do like discipleship things like that. And we don't know exactly what we're going to do, but we're probably going to do some. We're going to meet on the 15th. We're probably going to do some things on Sunday night. But most of the Sunday night thing, as of right now, everything's up for change. But we want to build community with this group right here, okay? And we also want to serve, okay? We may do something like go out, contact visitation as a whole body, come back together, pray. And another thing that we hadn't been able to do that was on some of our mission is get other churches to come around with us, okay? And so we may have some corporate worship with some other churches. I think SOS and some different ones may want to come with us. And so that's going to be a great time. We haven't got it all planned out. But just because that might not be your thing, please don't just show up. We want you to show up, okay? Because I don't know what God's going to do. So even if walking, I mean, we're going to try to figure out how to get all the ministries involved. But here's the thing. We just need you to show up. Offer hospitality without grumbling. Okay, verse 10. Need to roll. Each of you should use whatever gifts he has to receive to serve others faithfully, administering God's grace in various forms. If anyone speaks, he should speak. He should do it as one speaking the very words of God. If anyone serves, he should do it with the strength God provides, so that in all things God may be praised through Jesus Christ. To him be the glory and the power forever and ever. Amen. Man, Peter just went to praising God at the end of that deal, didn't he? But each one of you should use whatever gift you receive to serve others. And every one of you who is a believer has a spiritual gift. Because the spiritual gift is given by the Holy Spirit to enable a believer to accomplish a task for the purpose of edifying others for the common good. See, there's a variety of different gifts, okay? And every one of you have a gift. Even if you think you're the least talented person in the world, if you're a believer, the Holy Spirit has given you some kind of gift. And there's a way, there's a website, www.teamministry.com. It's a free spiritual gift analysis. You ask some questions, and it rates you, and it kind of gives you some ideas maybe where your strengths will be. And so man, if you would just take that, maybe that'll give you, it may even show you something. See, because when I took that thing, the spiritual gift thing, and it has stuff like evangelism, pastoral, and some other things, service, and then the only ones I remember are the ones I did bad in. I don't ever look at the good stuff I do, okay? And the two worst ones I got was teaching and giving. And the very next thing God did was call me to be an adult Sunday school teacher. I'm like, look. Teaching, this much. I mean, the other was real long, you know, my teaching was this much. And God said, I'm going to glorify myself through somebody whose teaching is this much, okay? And so for me, that spiritual gift thing was really a challenge for me. And giving, because I've always been stingy. And so if I've ever given you any money, praise God. He has let me be, I'm just telling you, inside I'm stingy. That's what my spiritual gift thing said. So that's the truth. But I know what a miracle it is when I give. You may not, okay? Y'all laughing because y'all the same way. But every believer has a gift, okay? The Holy Spirit can take natural talents and use them for God's glory, though. See, he can take some of your natural talents, even if it isn't a spiritual gift. If you're really talented at something, give it to God and let's see what he can do with it. He can do some amazing stuff with it. See, no one has all of the gifts, is what the Bible tells us. Praise God for that. Because if you had them all, you'd be one proud rascal. You'd be out here telling everybody how cool you were. I wish I had the gift of healing. I really do. I'd go over to St. Jude's and start clearing the halls, you know. I mean, I wish I had it, you know. And so, really, as we look at the end of this a little bit, I mean, that's why becoming the kind of body we're talking to is so important. Because I really think the power of God is on people who love God with all their heart. I think we're yet to see what Living Hope Bryan can do until we grow together. Okay, we're going to look at that at the very end in Acts 2. But you may be used by God to show someone else their gift. Some people may think, man, I just don't have a gift. And you recognize something in them that they don't recognize in themselves. Okay? And so it's our job as the body to say, quit beating yourself up. You're amazing at this. Sometimes just that encouraging word to somebody will put them in a position and allow God to use them and bless them and change this body. Please, please do not discount the relationships that you already have in this body. Because it ain't no accident when you're close to people. It's no accident that the people are in your hope group, okay? Whatever it is, please, please don't discount that, because God is a big old God and he's at work, okay? And the two that he focuses on here basically is speaking and serving. So we, on the speaking one, I wrote that we are Christ's ambassadors. And in 2 Corinthians 5:20, it's what it says. We are Christ's ambassadors as though God were making his appeal through us. See, when we speak, we should speak as if we were speaking the words of God. But the only way that I can ever speak the words of God in your mind is if I'm in fellowship with God, if I've got a clear mind, if I'm being hospitable. These things that keep me close to God, the only way I can speak into your life is if I'm working on my life. Because receiving words from other Christian brothers as a word from the Lord is another way that we can see God's will. See, there's a lot of accountability to say we are ambassadors. We are speaking as if we were speaking the word of God. If we would be that way in this, if everyone would buy into that, when you told me something, I could take it for a fact. But see, now I have to, in America, in this church here, these were believers. These were true believers. They were getting persecuted for their faith. So they were true believers. And here, I don't know in America. But there's great accountability when you use your gift of speaking. Speak as if you're an ambassador, as though God were making his appeal through you. And serving, Ephesians 6:7 says, serve wholeheartedly as if you were serving the Lord. If the only job left here at Living Hope, Brian, is something really, really down there from your perspective, don't look at it like that. Because we're not going to give you a job. I mean, there's a lot of things. There's some dirty diapers back there that I ain't never touched. I would if somebody told me I would. I had to. But if I did it, I'd be saying, I'm doing this for you, Lord. Honestly. You know, that's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about serving as if you were serving the Lord, okay? There's no menial job in the kingdom, okay? Because that's what happens. When we get out in these communities, we're going to need to serve people that from our mind, maybe we might not want to, okay? But when you do that, you need to do that as unto the Lord. For one, what that does, that takes you out of it. But it also blesses you to realize that I'm doing this for God. Something that God, how can any job that God called you to do, how could anything that you do for God be menial? Okay. But do it as unto the Lord. And see, Jesus is our example in John 5:19. He says, I tell you the truth, the Son can do nothing by himself. He can only do what he sees the Father doing. Because whatever the Father does, the Son does also. See, even Jesus didn't just go out doing things on his own. He did only the things that he saw the Father doing. But his job here wasn't to make Jesus famous. His job here was to glorify the Father. And that's what our job here. Our job is not to make Living Hope Bryan famous. Our job is to make Jesus famous. and to glorify God with everything that we do, whether we're at work or in here, but it starts in here. So you say, okay, what do I do? What kind of things do I do? How do I get this servant heart? What do I do? You see a need, you meet it. If a need gets put in front of you, don't say, I'll tell the ministry leader of that team. Say, I really believe that the Holy Spirit dangles stuff in front of you that he don't dangle in front of me. Because he's got something for you to do that has nothing to do with me. And you think, well, Alan's more equipped to do that. The Holy Spirit ain't put it in front of my face. He put it in front of your face. Okay? So do, you see a need, do it. Meet it. Show up. That's one thing. Just show up. There's been times I went to church and I didn't know what, you know, I knew we were going to be studying or whatever, but there's times where I showed up because if you don't have anything better to do, you need to be here. More spiritual to do, not better, because y'all come up with all kinds of things that are better. But more spiritual, I mean, if you're not sharing the gospel with somebody and we have a meeting here, man, y'all need to be here as members, because you never know what God's going to do. You never know what God's going to do, and he may need you to get it accomplished. Because we need to be faithfully administering God's grace in various forms, and we don't know what that looks like. So we need to be showing up, asking God, what is it? You know, you never know when we go to walking out, passing out flyers about the church, who God's going to put in front of your path. And I'm going to tell you, it is a blessing. When we were passing out flyers over, I mean, we got to pray with somebody. Just asking somebody if you can pray with them, sometimes just, they melted. They just started crying. There's hurting people out there, you know. Just asking them that you can pray for them, you know. And when God uses you that way, it makes your old life that you just work yourself to a nub just seem so meaningless, you know. And to think that God can really use you to minister to people because we have what they need. So what kind of church are we going to be? Let's turn over to Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and I'm going to close. You know, 30 years had passed before, you know, more than 30 years had passed when this letter in 1 Peter was written. And so, you know, they'd had time to drift off into mediocrity or whatever it is. I mean, that happens to a lot of us. But this is where the first church started. This is our model. Sometimes we got to go back to the very beginning. The Holy Spirit had came at Pentecost. And people started getting saved left and right, you know. And this was the first fellowship. And a lot of times when and we're starting a new church, I mean, we don't look so new. We look like a big church. You know, Butch said, you know, we're bigger than a big percentage of the churches in the nation already. God can use us to do some amazing things just by the sheer numbers of people that we have, okay? But we have to be authentic. And this is our model, okay? Let's look at what they did. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching. They were devoted. They were devoted. They showed up. And to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and prayer. We got a new prayer ministry, and I'm going to tell you, we really need to be a praying church. We're not there yet, not even close. But we are working on it because it's part of our mission, and we need y'all to help us. Because the Holy Spirit may lay something on your heart that we all need to hear, okay? We need you. Even if the way we do it doesn't appeal to you, don't worry about that. God can minister to you through, if he can speak to a donkey, he can speak through anything, you know? God can minister to you even through the worst speaker or the worst prayer or whatever. God can speak to you. The breaking of bread into prayer. Everyone was filled with awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. See, when we all get it, there's some miraculous stuff can happen. Miraculous signs. God shows up when his people follow him wholeheartedly. That's a promise. All the believers were together and had everything in common. Selling their possessions. Ooh, man, I could just stop right there. We're gathering up possessions. We're not selling any of them, you know. We're seeing how much more we can get. Because what we had last year, this year, they got a new year model. It's time for the next one, you know. There's people, I got to get off of that one. Selling their possessions and goods, they gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere hearts. See, they wasn't grumbling. They did it with glad and sincere hearts, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. That's the kind of church I want to be. And, you know, and I know that we're not there yet. But does it hurt to put that as the standard? These were people led by the Holy Spirit. Does it hurt to put that as a standard? I hope not. Because if we just settle for whatever happens here, we're just not ever going to, we're not going to be anything. We're just going to be another country club. But I need y'all. And so as I close tonight, I just want to ask you guys, you know, just join me, join me as I follow, as Paul said, follow me as I follow Christ, you know. As I follow Christ and as God puts things on my heart, help me be better, okay? And I want to help you be better. And then once we get better at it ourselves, there's other churches that need to be helped to be better. Because they're going to reach people we can't even think about touching. This isn't about Living Hope Bryan. This is about the kingdom. Okay? So when you suffer, suffer well. But serve God with all your heart. And join us. I mean, if you want to join us as a body, man, we'll take all comers. Because I ain't going to tell them what we're going to do. We've got a big old building over there that we ain't filled up yet. St. Michael's got a building over there that, if y'all hadn't been in it, it's bigger than the inside of Living Hope. So don't quit inviting people just because we get crowded. We start packing this place, we're going to go back over here, all right? Okay, let's pray. Father, Lord, I thank you for these people. Lord, I hope this message, Lord, was encouraging, Lord, because you have built something amazing here at Living Hope Bryan. And Lord, we just want to continue the momentum, Lord. We don't ever want to just settle for mediocrity. And so, Lord, teach us how to love each other. Lord, teach us how to be hospitable. Lord, teach us how to be excited about your return. And Lord, teach us how to love. Lord, and teach us how to pray. Lord, because if we don't have you, we might as well just sack it up. Lord, we need you, but we also need each other. So, Lord, I pray as this time of invitation comes, Lord, that if anyone needs to, Lord, just come and commit themselves to you, Lord, and just in that act of obedience, Lord, just allow them to come, Lord. And I know these chairs are close and tight, Lord, but I pray that the evil one will not win if anybody needs to deal with the Lord, with you tonight. Lord, thank you for the mothers here tonight, Lord, and just the... But us guys could learn an amazing lesson from the sacrifice of moms. So, Lord, I praise you for tonight and thank you for it.